I want to start out today with some questions. All right? So this could be a tough one, but who in here has heard a sermon about the Sabbath before? Anybody heard a sermon about the Sabbath at a UCG service? Yeah, I think we could all raise our hands, even though we didn't. We could all raise our hands. And before you start rolling your eyes and saying, okay, I can tune out now because I've heard this all before, I want to tackle this subject perhaps a little differently than maybe you've heard it before. Unless you're in the Raleigh congregation, because this is going to be similar to a message I gave a few years ago. But I thought it'd be good at this time when, you know, the time's just kind of all messed up. You kind of lose track of the days and some of the routines that you're in. It'd be good just to have as a reminder, you know, why do we do the Sabbath? Why do we do that? And you might say, you know, man, we hear sermons about, or messages about the Sabbath 4 or 5 times a year. Man, we kill that subject, beat it to death. But the thing is, if you think about it, 1/7 of your life, if you keep the Sabbath, 14% of your time is on the Sabbath. It's a pretty good chunk of time. In fact, if you lived 78 years and kept the Sabbath your whole life, that's 11 entire years of your life that you're keeping the Sabbath. So I think it's okay that from time to time, we remind ourselves of why it is we keep the Sabbath. So some of you, you know, I think, you know, maybe you're saying, you know, it's great, it's good, you're right, it's important, we should talk about it, but I don't really know why I do this. Or I can't wait until I'm older and I can maybe do something different. Or maybe your answer is, well, of course we do it because I know I'm supposed to. Maybe that's what you're thinking. So today I want to ask out loud the big questions around the Sabbath in your life. And it's questions that if we can't answer them, well, I guess there's really not any point to be here today if you can't answer these basic questions. And I want to ask those questions genuinely and then try to answer them in a way that everybody in this room can understand. So here's the first question. And this is the one, if you're going to write it down, you're going to think about. If you've never asked yourself this question, ask it now. Why on earth do you, as a 21st century human being and a new covenant Christian, continue to keep and observe the Sabbath day? Why do you do that? Why make such a big deal out of it? You know, isn't that a little old-fashioned? You know, and even if you're going to go ahead and do this, and you're going to go make this big deal out of it, does it really matter what day it is? I mean, you guys make such a big deal out of this, and really, isn't it just a case of y'all legalists trying to earn your salvation or prove you're better than everybody else? Yeah, I'm going to need some notes here. Or maybe you're just missing the point that God has already done all of it for us. You know, the Sabbath was just a symbol of rest until Jesus came, and now we have that, right? So why do we do this? Why put yourself through all this unnecessary, irrelevant burden that you've got? Why are you doing that? Now, I'm sure that most everyone in here has heard a sermon before about the validity, the relevance, the purpose, and theological establishment of the Sabbath. You know, kind of the really meaty stuff. And there's been a lot of good messages to answer the question, you know, is it a requirement for a new covenant Christian to observe the Sabbath day? And if you've missed them, I encourage you to seek them out. But I'm going to take, like I said, a little different angle today. So here's what I want to accomplish. There's really 3 things that I want to accomplish today. First is I'm going to briefly just establish that God always intended for new covenant Christians to keep his Sabbath. And it's absolutely crystal clear by the examples and instruction we have right here in our Bibles. That may be a little similar to what you've heard before, but we got to cover that. You can't have a sermon without it. But the second, I'm going to address this issue of, does it really matter? Does it really matter which day we keep it? Come on. 21st century, guys. Why do you make such a big deal? Saturday, Sunday, who cares? We're going to tackle that one, the second one. And then the third one, and where I'll spend a lot of the time today, is to make a logical argument. So we're going to have a biblical. We're going to talk about the day. And then I want to make a logical argument to you on the why. Why? Why does God want you to keep the Sabbath day as a 21st century human being and a new covenant Christian? And what you'll see and what we're going to find out and what we're going to cover, it's that it's not actually for him. It's for your own good. And we'll specifically look at four benefits that God gifts us through this day. So let's first just look briefly at what the Bible says about this day. Turn all the way back to the beginning, Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verses 2 to 3. Genesis 2 and verses 2 to 3. We got the 6 days of creation, and here we are in verse 2. Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. That's the first 6 days. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, if you look at this creation story of Genesis, it's actually, if you think about it, it's kind of odd, right? I mean, let's say some alien comes from outer space, and he comes here, he knows nothing about anything, and you read chapter 1 to him. And then you say, all right, I'm going to blindfold you. Guess what God does after the first 6 days? And you give him 1,000 guesses. Is he going to come up with, well, I bet God rested and set the day holy? I mean, that's kind of odd, right? It doesn't seem like it fits what you would just conclude. There's creation of all these things. So why is it so important that on the seventh day, he rested? Why did he do that? Or did he just do that to then later just go and throw it out and say it doesn't matter later? I mean, does that seem logical? All right. Exodus 16, you can turn there if you want, I'm not going to read it. Exodus 16, now this is before the Ten Commandments are given. Remember that the Ten Commandments are given later. This is before the Ten Commandments are given. Here we see God, the whole chapter of Exodus 16, if you look through it, is we see God telling the Israelites not to gather manna on the Sabbath day. Right? They don't have the Ten Commandments yet. God's telling them, hey, don't be collecting on the Sabbath day. Now the account doesn't appear to show them confused. They don't seem to think that's odd. They don't seem to be like, you know, foul ball, Moses, you be coming up with new rules every day, right? You can't take manna on the Sabbath? No, the Sabbath was known. You know, it preceded Mount Sinai, which if you get into a theological argument, that's one that always comes up quite a bit. Preceding the giving of the Ten Commandments and a lot of the Old Testament. Why is that? Why did these Israelites seem to know about the Sabbath before the Ten Commandments? Oh, maybe because it was established at creation. Exodus 20 and verse 8, so here we will see the Ten Commandments. Turn to this. I think it's good to read this. You know the Ten Commandments, you probably can recite them, but let's just read what it says about the Sabbath. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Exodus 20 and verse 8, I'm cheating because I just put it on here. So if you're turning, it's slower. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall work, and you shall do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, not you, not your son, not your daughter, not your servants, not your animals, not anybody who's residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And we can go on and we can look in Leviticus 23. We can look in Deuteronomy 5. We'll look at that a little bit later. That's the other place, the Ten Commandments. And you can see those places God's reinforcing that this is a direct command of God for his people as a sign that he is their God and they are his people. Now, the Old Testament goes on to mention the Sabbath or seventh day 150 times. 150 times. We did a lot of trivia this week. This would be trivia. That's more than the Old Testament mentions prayer. That's more than the Old Testament mentions worship. And moving into the New Testament. Now, we don't have time to read all the scriptures, but we find the Sabbath mentioned 50 times in the New Testament. We see the example of Jesus Christ, you know, God in the flesh, regularly keeping the Sabbath, teaching on the Sabbath. I mean, did he come and say, hey, guys, don't worry, this doesn't really matter anymore. Don't worry about it. No. In fact, all the Jews could find on him, all they could find on him was that he healed on the Sabbath and plucked grain as he walked. In which case, Jesus vehemently argued that it's okay to do good on the Sabbath, or to meet basic needs. Let's look at this one, because this is the one you'll hear sometimes. And again, we'll go through this up front, because you got to establish that it's the Sabbath is relevant today, theologically and in the Bible. So that's what we're establishing here. Luke 6 and verses 6 through 10. Probably know this story. Luke 6 and verses 6 through 10. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, this is Jesus, and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They're waiting for him. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Which, by the way, you don't see any example in the Old Testament what's wrong to heal on the Sabbath. They're just making up their own stuff here. But Jesus knew that they were thinking what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to them, to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now, if we go to both Matthew and Mark, when challenged on this subject, Jesus' response is, "The Son of Man, I am the Lord of the Sabbath." Now, if Jesus had come to do away with the Sabbath, I mean, this was pretty good timing for him, right? He could have said it. He could have said or done that in 1,000 different perfect opportunities. No. Instead, he said he was the Lord of the Sabbath day. Instead, he was interested in teaching the people that the Sabbath was a gift and to do good and not this giant burden where we make up a bunch of rules that aren't there. And oh, by the way, it was his day. In Acts, we see umpteen references. I mean, many references to Paul teaching on the Sabbath. And scholars and commentaries, they'll admit that it's obvious the New Testament church kept on meeting, worshiping, and teaching on the seventh day. Nowhere, I mean, the Jews were out to get these Christians, right? But nowhere do we find the Jews, even in contemporary writing at the time, in the New Testament era, out slamming these Christians for breaking the Sabbath. That's not one of the complaints. They got lots of other complaints, but not that one. So if God, in his ultimate wisdom, set in motion the Sabbath from the very beginning, you know, clearly preceding the old covenant, and then made it central to the worship of him, in fact, one of his Ten Commandments, then came to earth and said, "I am the Lord of this day," would he vaguely and mysteriously change the day or do away with the keeping of the day by, you know, innuendo or murky references, which is really all people have got? I mean, seriously, what I would like, and someone, if somebody challenged me on it, seriously, I'd like someone to logically answer why most New Covenant Christians would agree that 9 of the 10 commandments are still relevant, but the Sabbath is not. It's just completely illogical that the New Testament wouldn't have in big, giant, bold letters, or that the stop keeping the Sabbath, or it's done away with, or that the Jews would have not been all over the Christians for this, or that Jesus, when he had the chance when he was here on earth, wouldn't have taken the opportunity to tell us. So you might be saying, "Okay, yeah, Ben, you got me. I can't really argue with the concept of the Sabbath. But come on, man, does it really matter what day we keep? Come on. I mean, you guys go to all this trouble to go against the grain on Saturdays. You know, I'm keeping the Sabbath, or I do my version of the Sabbath. I keep the same as you. I just do it on another day," which, by the way, is a lot easier. And I'm pretty sure. I mean, do you really think it matters to God what day it is? Now, has anyone in here ever heard that argument? Anybody? Anybody ever heard it? I hear it. And it kind of sounds, at first when you hear it, you're like, "Oh yeah, maybe it doesn't. Maybe I am making too big of a deal out of that. Maybe you've thought that." Well, I'm not going to turn to a whole bunch of scriptures to debunk this. Rather, I'm going to give you 5 logical reasons why the day does matter. First one, we read it in Genesis 2. It says, God set aside this day as holy. The first ones we turned to, Genesis 2, it said, God set aside this day as holy. God, who created everything, made this day holy time. And then over and over and over, he prescribed the exact day he set aside. He didn't say, just pick a day. He said a specific day. He picked it. He went out of his way to tell us that, what day it was. Now, we can pick. Look, I'll tell you what. People can pick any day they want. They really can. But we don't have the power to make that time holy as human beings. Only the Creator does. So that's point one. He set the time. And he was specific about it. And he said it more than once. Number two, play this one out. Say you came face to face with God. What would you say about it? You know, God says, hey, Ben, why didn't you keep my Sabbath day on the day that I told you? What's my answer going to be? Well, you know, I did, God. I just decided it was easier if I just did it on Sunday. When God would say, but I specifically told you like 20 times when to keep it. What am I going to say? Yeah, you know, well, God, I just figured you said it, but you didn't really mean it. And Sunday was just, you know, it was a lot easier for me. I mean, if your boss gave you an instruction, or your principal at your school, or your president, would you ever have that kind of discussion with them? God is the creator of all. He's the ultimate being in the universe, the King of Kings. I mean, who on earth are you or I to tell him we have the right to pick the meeting time with him? Number three, you'll hear this argument. Some people say, well, it doesn't really matter because, you know, when it comes down to it, it's everything, you know, time got all messed up. We don't know what day it is. Could be any day. Maybe it's Wednesday. Well, I think that's actually a very lame argument if you hear that. If you hear that and you think, well, maybe it did get confused. Here's how you come back on that one. Because even if it was true, which I don't think it is, that time got all messed up and we don't know, what we do know and can absolutely track is that Jesus kept the Sabbath. And you can go back and read that. We hit it a little bit. And we can easily track calendars since 1 AD. And we can know that we are keeping the seventh day the same as he kept it. So when God in the flesh came, he kept it on that day. So if anybody tells you, well, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ came to this earth and kept it on that day. And we can track calendars from that pretty much unquestionably. So that's the third reason the day matters, or argument around the days matter. The fourth day, the fourth reason the day matters, and when it comes up, this is something to be aware of, is that the historical record shows why the day of worship was changed from Saturday to Sunday. Anyone who wants to find it can find it. I mean, it's in the Catholic Encyclopedia. And there are plenty of other historical records that show when and why the day was changed. It's not completely hidden away. It's pretty easy if you research it. It was purposeful, and there was reasons for it. Not reasons that I agree with or you should agree with. The reasons that it was changed was to align with the pagan day of worship of the sun. It was easier to convert Christians when you just put your Sabbath on the same day that they were already worshiping. And there was also a very, very high bias to moving to distancing away from the Jewish religion. So this was an easy way to separate from the Jewish religion. And at the time, having Jewish roots was politically very bad in the Roman Empire. Could get you killed. So there were good reasons why it got changed. Not good reasons, right reasons, but there were reasons that are out there for why it got changed. But the point is, the change is not supported by the biblical record. And it was done by human leaders who had motives. And we can say, oh, this doesn't matter anymore. Right? But to me, if you start acting like a cornerstone of your new covenant Christian worship is founded outside of the scriptures, then you're just going to head on down a pretty slippery slope. Finally, and to me, this is the biggest reason. You know, it's about respect. I mean, God gives you everything. He set aside the seventh day. We keep it because he said that's the day to keep it. And if you wonder, if you think, well, does respect and honor matter to God? Well, if you say no to that, then you've just really never read the Bible. Because obviously, that is critical to him. He asked you to keep the day. He asked 1 out of 7 days. You can have the other 6 to do your stuff. 1 out of 7 days. And this is the day. It's respect. So now that we've established that the Sabbath is still relevant for New Covenant Christians, and that which day does indeed matter, let's now turn to the why. Because this is the one that maybe doesn't get covered as much. Why? You know, why beyond the fact that God tells us to, and we should obey, which is a good enough reason. But why? And if you aren't really sure, like you just don't know completely, that's okay. We're going to talk about it. I want you to listen closely because I think the whys may actually surprise you just in how utterly logical and important they are. And people look at it like it's so antiquated or just out of, you know, old fashioned. Like, why, who does that? But when we go through this today, I want you just Think about it logically. And I think it will make a lot of sense of why God put it in place. So that's what we're going to cover here. I want to start with a quote as we transition here to the why and the purpose behind it and what it means for you. This is from Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was the founder of Apple. Most people probably know who Steve Jobs was. This is a famous quote. You probably see this a lot of places. I like this quote a lot because I actually think it's super relevant. He said, "My favorite things in life don't cost any money." Guy was a billionaire, so maybe he had the leeway to say that. But my favorite things in life don't cost any money. It's really clear that the most precious resource that we all have is time. Time. And in this day and age, this precious resource of time seems ever shorter in supply for each of us. You know, we've kind of had a lot of us have had some bits of a pause here, and maybe we've realized that a little bit more now, but time. You know, work and schedules dominate. They dominate our lives. And when we aren't working or we aren't on the schedule, we just go sign ourselves up for a dizzying array of recreational activities that basically end up consuming all our time. You know, in the land of freedom, where our country and our world would boast that there has never been more freedom, although maybe in the last couple months that's been debated, but in a world where, for the most part, we'd still say this is the most free time the world has ever seen. I mean, there's a great paradox in that. Because never before have our people had less free time. It's a paradox. It kind of contradicts itself. We're all free. The whole world is becoming more free. Democracy is spreading more. At least that's been the trend over time. But yet, it seems there's less time for people. You know, work and play and the constantly speeding treadmill of modern life has, in a way, turned us into slaves to our jobs and to our schedules and to our activities. They control us. They tell us what we're going to be doing. They make us do it. We have to do this. It's my schedule. It's my job. I have to do it. It controls us. It controls our most precious resource, our time. And God, our Creator, never intended it to be that way. So what I want to do today, as we're already doing, is to look at one of the best tools and gifts that God has ever given to human beings from the very beginning, his Sabbath day. To answer, going back to that first question, about 21st century human Sabbath observance, and look at it from this different angle. Why does God want us to keep it? So here with the remaining time, I simply want to lay out to you four precious benefits of the Sabbath. The why. There's a lot more that I'm going to hit than four. I'm just going to hit four. But I want to hit on four that will convince you that the Sabbath was never intended to be a burden or a trap or something that ruins your life, but rather an incredible gift from a very loving God that perhaps will help you to look at the opening question that we started with in a whole new way. So let's establish the premise here that the Sabbath is a benefit. Well, we already saw that God created this day as a gift, as a day of benefits. Right? That's what it said when we looked at the very first scripture in Genesis 2. He set the example. After a great work, he rested. He set the example. He looked back on all his creation and reflected. He took, even though he's not bound by time, he set the example of taking the time to pause and reflect and savor and rest. And the Sabbath gets a bad rap sometimes because the Jews in Jesus' day had made it a checklist of do's and don'ts. The day became a chore of avoidance. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do anything. I can't move. And Jesus corrects that. That's when Jesus is challenging them on the Sabbath. He's correcting that. That's not the purpose, guys. I'll just read this. You don't need to turn here. Mark 2 and verses 27 and 28. Jesus says to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Hugely profound statement. And then he says, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's saying to them, the Jews at that time, and to people who think of the Sabbath as a burden today or a bunch of rules of avoidance, and that's all it is. He's saying, guys, you've got it all backwards. This day was created. It was a gift I gave you for your benefit, for human beings to have a benefit. So let's look at those benefits. I'm going to give you four, like I said. The first one, the first benefit of the Sabbath that every human being on this earth can enjoy is that the Sabbath can recharge your body and mind and soul like nothing else. Simply put, the Sabbath is a day of physical and spiritual rejuvenation. God tells us, he doesn't say, well, you know, if you get busy, you can. He just tells you, stop. Stop. And he commands us to rejoice in him on this day. We didn't look at all those scriptures, but there's many scriptures about rejoicing on this day. Why? Because it's for our own good. It's for our own good health. And I don't know about you, but if I didn't have, I'm just talking about me. If I didn't have the Sabbath day, I can honestly tell you I would never stop. Never. I just wouldn't. And probably a few of you in here can admit the same thing. And you can look at the world around you and it's just spinning around. Because people just don't stop. And it's not good for us. I read an article in The Atlantic from 2013. The Atlantic's a publication, a pretty common publication. This is going back a few years. But they did a study. And it curiously found a single city in the USA that had far, it stuck way out, far outlived others. And it scored near the top in happiness. Loma Linda, California. The average person lives 4 to 7 years longer than the average American. It seemed to be odd. They looked into it. How could this be? Why would just one city? Was it better, you know, less air pollution? I don't know. It's can ask the Kozers, I guess, about air pollution in California. I think Loma Linda probably, I know it's in southern, but it probably has a lot of air pollution. No. What's special about Loma Linda? Well, when they started digging into this, half the people in Loma Linda, which is a city of about 60,000 people, happen to be Seventh-day Adventists who share with us, you know, generally keeping of the Sabbath. Now, the study does highlight diet as the likely number one factor for longevity. That was their number one factor. Again, which, by the way, we share a lot of commonality with that. But the study also highlights, this is in The Atlantic, which is generally a progressive publication. It's the articles in the study, not the article, the study states, highlights some mysterious, magical health benefits of the Sabbath, which the Seventh-day Adventists observed. It concludes, and this is what it says, it concludes, stopping for 24 hours once a week is actually surprisingly and scientifically proven, hear that, scientifically proven to be good for your health. So, the first point is, the Sabbath day is created for man because it's good for you. It's good for your physical health. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your spiritual health. It's good for your soul. It's good just to stop. That's the first one. Science proves it. The second one is that the Sabbath forces you to align your most physical, precious resource, time, with your most important things. That doesn't happen a lot. Think of all the things you spend time on that really, if you think about what's important, you spend a lot of time on things that just really aren't, in the grand scheme of things, important. So let me give you an example of this. You know, as a father, I love my four children. Love them. But someday, and it's coming sooner, they will be grown up and not physically around me anymore. So how will I keep that relationship strong when they're gone? Not just there all the time. How will I do that? Well, there's really no other way to do that than to invest time. Spend time. So yes, I'm busy. But imagine this clever setup. What if I set up one whole day a week to spend the whole day with them? You know, I look forward to it. They look forward to it. We spent the whole day together enjoying talking and doing things together and laughing and smiling, sharing once a week, every week. Huh, what if I came up with that clever thing? Would we know each other? Would we be close? Would our bonds of love be strengthened? Now, your father is far busier than me. He's got this whole like master of the universe thing that he does, right? I mean, he's got everything. But he has set aside one day, that's it, not seven, one day a week, just for you. And he wants to spend the whole day with you, building a relationship, rejoicing in each other. Do I have to keep the Sabbath? How many wasted hours arguing that? Do I have to keep the Sabbath? How on earth can you refuse the most precious and wonderful, this most precious and wonderful gift your Father is giving you? His undivided attention. One whole day a week. So that's the second reason you align your most physical precious resource with your most important things. God the Father sets up time for you and he. Third, and this one I don't think gets talked about enough. But the Sabbath is a celebration of freedom. And we hear a lot about freedom. You know, and you get into this world that has their own ideas and they're secular. A lot of it's all about freedom. And all of it's about people being free. And people dedicate their whole lives to it, trying to fix things to make it so people can be free. And I think that's actually, that's what God has instilled in us as human beings. We want freedom. We want to feel that. Turn to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, and this is where the Ten Commandments are recited. Again, they're in Exodus 20 and they're Deuteronomy 5. Turn to Deuteronomy 5 and let's read what God says about the Sabbath commandment in Deuteronomy 5. And I think you're going to find something interesting here. Maybe you never saw it before. Deuteronomy 5 and verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath rest to your Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. We've read most of that already in Exodus 20, but then look what it adds. Look what it adds in verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched your arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. That's kind of an odd thing. Why does he, like he's talking about not working and everything, and all of a sudden he's like, remember you were slaves in Egypt, and that is one of the reasons why I'm telling you to remember this day. Why did he put that in there? Why? Because God ties the Sabbath to freedom from slavery. He does it right there. You see it. Anyone who cannot rest from work is a slave. They are a slave to a need for success, to a materialistic culture, to exploitative employers, to parental expectations, or to all of that. They own your time. And these slave masters in this 21st century, by the way, will abuse you if you are not disciplined in the practice of Sabbath rest. In fact, I would say the Sabbath is actually a declaration of independence and freedom for all humanity. I found this quote from a guy named Richard Exley I thought was very good. In our culture, work has become a god. It is the preeminent factor in organizing human life and establishing your personal identity. It so dominates people's lives that there is little time for themselves or their families. And the Sabbath is God's answer. It serves as a counterbalance to that, establishing the inalienable human right to rest. It is designed to protect us from the dangers of physical exhaustion, psychological stress, and the interpersonal alienation, which results from idolization and over-identification with work. This day, this Sabbath day, is a marker of God and his purpose. He marks the day to remind us that he created all things, including us. He marks the day to remind us that he has freed us from slavery. Both ancient and modern day true physical slavery, where everybody else owns your time. And also as a reminder that he has freed us from the slavery of sin through the death of his son. That's a whole other subject. Hebrews 4 talks about it. But the Sabbath day is connected to freedom from slavery. And in a society that supposedly values freedom more than almost any other human right. I mean, just stop and look at the insanity of the pace of modern life and ask yourself, how much freedom do we really all have? And the Sabbath stands in contrast to it all. It's God's answer. It establishes the inalienable human right to be truly free, to own your own time with your Creator. In the simple tasks of this life, and then for all eternity through his Son. The Sabbath gives you the time to reflect on all the important things in life. It gives you time to celebrate the sweet, to spend time with your Father. It gives you time to truly be free. So that's the third benefit of the Sabbath. It is an absolute declaration of freedom for humanity, which we don't have all the time in this day and age. The last one here that I think is, again, also a little bit overlooked sometimes, is that keeping the Sabbath helps us to gently grow in faith. It helps us to gently grow in faith. And look, if we had to boil down the one thing that God really wants from his human being creation, what does he really want from you? It's faith. It's to believe him. It's trust. It's faith. And unfortunately, faith sometimes and building faith can be just a very, very difficult experience. People go through all kinds of trials and tests. And they come out of them and they build faith. That's one tool that God uses to build faith. Trials, it says it in the Bible. But some of these trials are just almost feel unbearable. God says he won't do more than we can bear, but they almost feel that way. Some of you have gone through those trials. It's not gentle. But the Sabbath is a tool that God uses to gently build faith. Gently build faith. Now, there's really only two ways to look at this Sabbath appointment versus all the other really important things we feel we must do. There's really only two ways to look at it. We will either keep our appointment with God or we'll break it. It's as simple as that. And God has set aside this time for our benefit because he wants to spend time with you, as I already talked about. Now just, again, step back and just fathom that. The creator of the universe, the creator of all 8 billion people on earth, wants to take 24 hours and spend it with you. So if you choose to do something else, work, some other activity that consumes that time, you're breaking that appointment. In fact, with how you've chosen to spend your most precious resource, you are telling God, God, sorry, but my job or this game or event is more important than you. You see, if you choose not to keep the fourth commandment, you in a way are really choosing to break the first commandment. All right, you said benefits, Ben, benefits, right? You were talking about benefits. So let me get to the point here. Keeping the Sabbath, keeping your appointment with God every single week for your entire life will be hard. A lot of younger people in here, it will be hard. At times, pretty hard. Yet it may be the easiest thing you ever did. What? You know, telling your boss and your colleagues and your employees and your teammates and your friends that you aren't working Saturday or aren't playing Saturday will be hard. You may lose your job. You could lose your friends. You could lose respect. You might not make the team. You're going to stick out. You're going to look old-fashioned. And to some, it won't be positive. You know, you might feel like you're letting other people down. You know what it will feel like? It will feel like a sacrifice. And I know in this day and age, making sacrifices is completely out of style. Modern culture and thought tells us we really don't need to make sacrifices. We should just do what we want. Let's just do what makes us happy. That's what it teaches us. But keeping the Sabbath is a sacrifice at times. But it helps to gently build faith. Let's turn to Scripture, and then I'm gonna drill down a little bit more on this. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. It's a great Sabbath scripture. Isaiah 58 and verse 13 through 14. I'll give you a second to turn there. Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14. It says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing just whatever you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, if you look forward to it, if you want to spend time with me and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and taking that time and spending it on what you, just all your stuff, and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then what? Then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, I've done this before, so for some of the Raleigh brethren, they'll hear some of the same stories. I apologize for that. But I'm going to share some of my own personal experiences here. Not that my personal experience is that important. But as I talk about it, I think as I talk about bits of this, everybody in this room is going to have some of these same things. So don't really think about mine. Think about yours as we go through this. I want you to reflect on your experience and what the benefits were. How was God gently building your faith? Did he follow through on what we just read there in Isaiah 58? Did he follow through on that promise? So I'll speak from my experience. In my own personal life, you know, I've kept the Sabbath from my earliest days. And I'll admit it, for a lot of some of my life, maybe too much, any bit's too much, I sometimes have thought of the Sabbath as a burden. Man, I just, you know, think of all the things I could do or be. You know, I thought that. That's not that unnatural to think it. I missed the first game of the year in high school, where I was starting. I was a starting second baseman. But I missed the first game of the year because it was on the Sabbath. Demoted. I didn't get kicked off the team, but I rode the bench. I missed out by not being cool, going to all the Friday night dances and football games and all these mega social events. I missed them all. Man, I could have been so cool. Friday night events. Prospective employers, once I graduated college, seemed completely unimpressed with my inability to work Saturdays. I did 10 interviews, no offers. This was like for a co-op. Some of them were free. Couldn't even get them. Wasn't impressive to not be able to work on Saturdays. And once employed, I was viewed as less dedicated. Kind of an odd guy, oddball. Which if you know me, I hate that. But someone was willing to work all the time until that Saturday when it just like by some magical time and some 1800s practice decided to stop working. You know, when we really needed that Ben guy, he just abandoned us. I had that said a couple times. And you know what? There are a lot of harder things in life than this. But if you want to, like I did, too much, you can view this as hard and burdensome. So again, my things aren't as important, but I hope you've thought of a few of your things. Because everybody in here has probably had some of those same experiences. And when I really look at all those same things, when I really look at them, I now realize embedded in all those experiences was something priceless. It provided an opportunity for me to walk with God, to make small sacrifices, not huge ones really, really small sacrifices to honor him. And trust that somehow these things would just work out. It taught me to rely on him, to fight for me, and to take care of me. You see, all along, God was using the Sabbath and its clash with this modern way of life to build faith. and to build faith in a way that's actually pretty gentle. I'll go back, and strangely, all those things that I just told you about that seem so hard, they actually turned out to be quite easy. Yeah, that guy that got my starting job, after 4 games in the season, he got in some fight and got suspended. So I got the chance to start. And again, I think I've told this story. It's a little cheesy, but I like to tell this story. It's my first start in high school baseball. I batted last in the order. I really wasn't a very good hitter. I weighed like 110 pounds. I know. I weighed 110 pounds back then. But I was small, so I wasn't a very good hitter. I was a good fielder. I was fast, but I was not a good hitter. And we were playing a team, and the pitcher was good. I was number 9 in the order. The 8 guys in front of me all made outs. So it's the 3rd inning and 2 outs, and I came up to the plate. And I saw this pitcher. He was throwing faster than I could hit. So I just decided, first pitch, I'm swinging. I'm not even going to think about it. And so I did, and I hit the ball. It was a hard line drive. You know, I hit it the other way because I couldn't get around fast enough. And it kept sailing. And it's sailing, and I ran to first base, and it went over the right fielder's head. And it sailed over the fence. That was my first at bat. I ran around the bases, and the coach, the third base coach, was my coach. He goes, "Massey, I've seen you hit, like, that's probably the second ball I've ever seen you hit out of the infield." He was in disbelief. In my 12 years of playing baseball, through thousands of at bats, you know, before and after that, I have never hit another ball over the fence. Never did before, never did again. Now, that's a cheesy story. Coincidence, you may say. You know, but for a 16-year-old, where baseball was kind of like at the top, it was kind of like God whispered in my ear and said, "I'm with you." The Friday nights that I could have been so cool if I had just been doing all the fun stuff, you know, they turned out to be some of the best memories I had growing up. It was, you know, like a lot of you guys and your families, it was the one time that my family got together. Nice meal. With a feeling of peace, security, and warmth, and love that I remember far more fondly than the foolish times with the cool kids on Saturday nights. And despite some failures, turns out the best job I interviewed for during all that failure was the last one. And I think the interview was generally awful, but I still got the job. And throughout my career, the many times Saturdays have been an issue, and this most important thing, or this most important day that I was missing, that I just, no one could fathom. How can you see into the quarter? How can you miss? How can you be off? And I myself panicked over sometimes. Turns out, most times things worked out. My battles seemed to be fought for me. Even situations I thought that maybe risked my employment. Again, it was like God whispering, "I am with you." You know, people, somebody said this to me one time. You know, you're like a little like Chick-fil-A. We get annoyed when you're not there. But we actually respect the fact that you got principles. And all those missed, you know, work moments when I was missing them, you know, I wouldn't trade my family Friday nights and sat with Sabrina and my kids. And the quiet time to really spend time with my God, the Sabbath here worshiping God and fellowshipping with you, time spent really rejoicing in the good, important things in life with my God. You see, these are really the highlights of life. They are what's really good. They are what makes a human being happy. You know, what a great investment of precious time. As you've heard me talk about mine, hopefully for you the same thing. And those hard sacrifices that were really pretty, actually not that hard, even those God turned around. He turned them into the best things. You know, and in my mind is without any doubt, in my mind, that he's followed through on that promise that we read in Isaiah 58. That doesn't mean that I might not lose my job or friends or some other negative occurrence. But I've seen enough now to trust God. That if any of that stuff does happen, as so long as I follow him, he'll work it out somehow. Maybe not how I want it to be, or how I think it should be, or how I think it could be, but he will take care of me. And again, I'll test in my life that the Sabbath is one of God's most effective tools at kind of quietly and gradually building faith in him, trust. And if you are willing, to every single one of you, trust me, he says, and I will be with you. So let me start to wrap up today by turning the great Sabbath debate, and just turn it upside down. Is it a requirement for a modern day Christian to observe the Sabbath day? Well, my answer is that I believe the Bible shows without a doubt it is. We looked at that. But you know what? Forget all that even. Let's just say you theologically don't see it. Fine. Is it a requirement for a modern day Christian to observe the Sabbath day? Why on earth would you not want? Why would you not want this awesome gift from God? Why would you reject what's scientifically proven to be good for heart, mind, soul, and physical health? Why would you not want that? Why would you not want to spend this time that your Father has set aside to be with you? What is it that's so much more important than that? If you really love God, wouldn't you be counting down the minutes to have your weekly day with your dad? Do you value freedom? Is it something worth reflecting on and celebrating and declaring that you will not be a slave? Your time is not, you will not be a slave to this world and everybody taking your time. And every week you keep the Sabbath, it's a declaration of freedom from that. And finally, if I told you that God had a secret, gentle way to help you build your bond and faith with him, would you not take that in a heartbeat? So I hope today that you see the Sabbath for what it really is. For what it really is. It's not a debate. Not a way to say that we're better than you. Not a means to earn our salvation. But as a simple, priceless gift. Because you see, God made this day for man. Not as a burden, not as a trap, but rather it was one of his very first and very best gifts to us. It was one of his first ways he showed us he loves us. He loves us so much he set aside a whole day for us. And it's a day that gives us the opportunity to love him back. So why is it that you, as a 21st century human, 21st century super modern human, and a new covenant Christian keep the Sabbath day? I'd say it's almost the wrong question. Instead, if you really love the Lord your God, and you want more than anything else to build a relationship with him, then why on earth would you ever not want to accept this divine gift and pull it close? Value it as precious and use it to grow into the child of God that he always intended.